This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Rocking and rolling here on First Take. High noon, folks, as we get ready for that 3 o'clock start in the Caesars Superdome. Definitely not used to that as we got game actions around the NFL
kicking
off right now.
I'm very distracted. If it sounds like I'm distracted, it's because there's 7 games going on. Oh, God.
And there's a TV to the left of us with one game and to the right with another.
But not the one game I actually want to watch. It's just the Falcons-Chargers game. But either way, we'll keep an eye on that. Falcons are driving. Kirk Cousins ran for a first down. How about that?
Not Bijan.
I don't think he ran very fast, but he did run for a first down. Anyway.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one. Has a lot to do, a lot of concern for black and gold implications. Be nice to hand those Dirty Birds a third straight loss. They're on the opposite of what the Saints have been going through last, obviously. They went into the bye losing two straight, where the Saints went into their bye having won two straight after making that head coaching change. And I know, you know, we talk about this a lot, Jeff. Sometimes the weeks just blend together, but it sure seems more than just a three-week stint now, including the bye week, that, you know, they've moved on from the Dennis Allen era of things, and we've been implementing Rizzy ball here.
Yeah, and no, and this is definitely the time of year where you're looking at other games and, like, very much rooting for specific teams to lose. And it seems like we've been there every year for the last 5 years, whether it's been for a seed or whether it's been for making the playoffs at all, because Saints really want the Falcons to pick up another loss. They're about to kick a field goal in the red zone there. You know, the Cardinals are 6-5. They're playing the Vikings. They're up 3-0. You kind of want the Cardinals to keep falling back because there's really only one wild card spot that's in play. And I mean, like, obviously there's two more, but the Saints can only get to 10 wins at best. And you've got two wild card teams that already have 9 wins in the Vikings and the Commanders. So if either one of those teams wins two more games the rest of the way, that spot is out of play for the Saints. So it's a really kind of weird thing, but you just gotta root for the Commanders to keep losing. You gotta root for all these 6-5 win teams to keep losing. The good news is in between the Commanders and the rest of the pack is not really
anybody.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at right here.
There's no one that's really sitting there like 7-4, you know, or 8-6, really. So, you know, it's a tough spot to be in. But all you can do is go out there and win your games. And what I will say is, I did look this up, going back 10 years. Only 3 times has a 10-win team missed the postseason. One of those was the Dolphins in 2020, which was the last year before they added the extra wild card spot. Then you go back to 2015, it was the Jets. You go back to 2014, it was the Eagles. All 3 of those teams in the current format would have made the playoffs. They were the first team out of the picture. So if the Saints got to 10 wins and didn't make the playoffs, they would be the first team since expanding to the 7-seed format to miss the playoffs with 10 wins. So it's never happened before in this format. So, I mean, it does not say it can't happen, but, you know, if you went out and you get to 10 wins, you should feel like, yeah, okay.
Someone who's been pretty okay for this Saints squad these last couple of weeks, Derek Carr at quarterback, I don't think gets enough credit. We were quick to pile on any kind of angst or, you know, any kind of ill will towards the QB of the Saints. We definitely missed him when he was out injured. We saw what the Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener experience did with this offense. It wasn't really productive. It looked disjointed, and you were missing that veteran presence. Well, Carr was asked what he's seen from this Rams defense coming off the bye week as they get ready to play a team that's looking to get to 500 on the year, and that always seems to be a thorn in the side of this black and gold bunch.
Young, physical defense, great front. You know, they run and hit at linebacker, safeties, you know, getting picks, your corners, veteran smart players, you know, good players. And, you know, they disguise their looks. They show you one thing and do three different things from it. You know, they do a great job with the front, moving the front. They play their zones. They when it's, you know, they play their man, you know, when they know where their help is and all those things. They do a really good job. They're really well coached, you can tell. You know, some of the things you watch, some of the things that stand out just over the years, you see that they're well coached, but you see a young, hungry defense. And, you know, especially over the last few weeks, they've played really well. I know they didn't have the result they wanted this last game, but that doesn't mean everything. You know, when you watch the tape over and over again, you see who they are, and they're really, really physical, really, really, really good front, really good team. You know, we have our work cut out against this team for sure.
You mentioned how good the front is, and obviously they've had Aaron Donald for forever.
Yeah.
Like, what do you see from their defense? Like how have they made change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 99's not there. You know, that's the biggest change. But, you know, they're still getting so much production and pressures from, you know, 5-6 different guys. And, that speaks to how they drafted, you know, the guys they've added. That speaks to the talent that's in those rooms. It speaks to the coaching, you know, and putting them in position, right? So they've done a fantastic job in continuing to create pressure and create problems for offenses. I've said this, Aaron Donald's the best football player I've ever played against. You know, he's unbelievable, probably from the greatest draft class ever too. That's a joke, but he is a good football player, and he was a walking Hall of Famer every day he was out there. And anytime you lose a guy like that, again, you don't replace Aaron Donald, but you know, the guys that have stepped in have done a fantastic job of creating pressure and creating havoc to give their team a chance to win.
Derek Carr there talking about Aaron Donald at the end, obviously a guy that you were worried about, you know, racking up those sacks. That's something that Derek has been really good at, and this Saints offensive line has been limiting those sack numbers. And you, Jeff, asked Derek about this, about keeping those numbers low this season. He's only been sacked 7 times, and here's what Carr had to say.
Derek, I think you've only taken 7 sacks in 8 games. I think that's the number. Was that a focus going into this year, limiting that number specifically?
Yeah, I think first you got to give credit to our offensive line. They've played really well. Especially in some of the past games against some of the people that we've played. So our offensive line has done an outstanding job. And I can't remember when I talked about this, but whenever they play well, it allows me the freedom to play the quarterback position how you want to, you know, manipulate guys and take a half second here. You can move this guy to make that throw, you know, instead of just having to find a quick one to keep the, you know, chains moving and things like that. So, you know, I think a lot of that credit just goes to our offensive line and how well that they've played. Even though there's been guys in and out, those guys as a unit, just their togetherness and their unity, you know, has really helped push us as an offensive football team. And so, you know, me personally, you know, just trying my best to throw them away when I can. You know, I know I got an intentional grounding. I think that was last game and or 2 ago, one of our last home games. And but that's me just trying to find somebody to throw it away, so, you know, to eliminate that negative play. Now, it ended up hurting us, but I'm just, you know, a lot goes into that. You know, it's not just all in the O-line. It's me making good decisions, getting the ball. If someone does come free, hey, get it out, you know, second, you know, let's not make that bad play worse, right? And so, you know, there's been times where I've just dumped it at AK's feet or, you know, on a bootleg. It's not there, you throw it away. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not what you want, but you live to play the next down. And so we've tried to limit that just as a team, but I think, number one, our offensive line has done an outstanding job.
And real quickly, Derek Carr was also asked, this team's focus now, 1-2 straight, coming off a bye week. You got the LA Rams in the Superdome. What is this team locked in on?
Rams, 1-0. Rams, 1-0 this week. That's it. Yep. But we can't think ahead, can't look behind. know, that's what the bye week was for, to self-reflect and all that. But it's focused on the Rams and trying to get a win because they beat us last year.
Yeah, they definitely did. It was a Thursday game. We talked about that a lot, Jeff, too, how it was just really unfair for this team on a short week having to go out to L.A. and expecting to put any kind of, you know, really game plan together that was going to work and be favorable for you.
I don't know if unfair is the word, but it's definitely was not helpful. you know, I think Sean Payton, you know, when he would be asked way back when, it's like, oh, do you like playing on Thursdays? Like, I like playing on the home team,
right?
Because it's a big difference when you're the home team, and the Rams had that. You know, they played like the team that was ready, and the Saints played like a team that was not. But either way, you know, you look at it and you say, okay. Where do you get better with Derek Carr on the field, right? And I think there was a lot of negative energy toward Derek Carr last year and throughout the season. You had some boos in this building, and I do wonder, you know, how much of that, if there is any kind of shift in that, because I think a lot of it was people were out on Dennis Allen. A lot of people were out on Dennis Allen, even going into this season. People were out on Dennis Allen, and they viewed Derek Carr as an extension of Dennis Allen. Now DA is gone, and I think you kind of just have to look at Derek and say, what is he, and is he a part of whatever's next?
Right.
Or do you have to just bite the bullet and move on from him and deal with whatever fallout there is from a cap perspective? And I think when you just look at the numbers and you just look at his performance this season, it's like, okay, who's your better option? I'll tell you one guy who's happy to have Derek around. It's Darren Rizzi, because having him at the quarterback position makes this team look a lot more competent from an offensive perspective. And you talked about the sack numbers, right? Derek Carr has been sacked 7 times in 8 games. He's been sacked 3 times in their 4 wins. He's been sacked 4 times in their 4 losses. It's and he'll heap praise on the offensive line, and that's what a quarterback should do. You know, he knows where his bread is buttered.
Sure.
You know, and they haven't played terribly, but they've been in a difficult situation. You're talking about a rookie left tackle, Trevor Penning changing to the right side. You've had, you know, a revolving door of interior linemen. It's been anything but as planned on the offensive line, and they've done reasonably well. But, you know, you look at the 3 games Spencer Rattler started, he was sacked 14 times in 3 games. Granted, you went against the Broncos, you went against the Chargers. Those are two of the NFL's better defensive units. I think that those 3 games kind of showed you, like, okay, you know, the quarterback is a factor. Like, QB play, you know, sacks aren't just an offensive line stat. They're also a quarterback stat. And you look at some of the younger quarterbacks in the NFL, you look at Caleb Williams, the guy leading the league in sacks. It's not because the offensive line is getting whipped on every play. A lot of it is you're trying to extend. You're not getting the ball out. You're not understanding when a play is dead, and you're taking a negative play when you don't have to. When you extend the play like that, you end up with holding penalties. You end up with all of these other issues. And one thing Derek has done really well this season is get the ball out of his hands and keep the Saints in positive game script situations. Right now, there's been a couple scenarios. You look at the interception against the Chiefs where, oh, yeah, he tried to throw it out of bounds, didn't get it far enough, and it's a terrible interception. Against the Falcons, he tried to throw it away, and it ended up being a grounding penalty. He mentioned that. But when you don't have playmakers on offense the way the Saints are set up this year, you don't have guys that can bail you out of bad situations, you've got to keep yourself ahead of the chain so you can run the ball, so you can take advantage of Alvin Kamara, so you're not constantly trying to convert 3rd-and-13, 3rd-and-15 when you don't have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, or whoever else.
Yeah, you look at this team right now, there's still questions. Obviously, that wide receiver room, who's going to step up and be the guy other than an Alvin Kamara or Taysom Hill in this offense to be that big play guy? And obviously, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has certainly stepped up and been that exciting piece to this offense. We haven't, you know, had around, it seems, for a little bit. I know Rashid Shaheed was doing some amazing things, but really impressive how MVS has just come in and fit seamlessly in the offense. You want to see that continue. Now can that route tree expand even more for a guy like him instead of just being that deep threat?
Yeah, it's a good question. And how do you continue to kind of involve him in this offense? Kevin Austin got called up again today.
Right.
It's the last time you can call him up in terms of you get three. This is his third. Dante Pettis, same situation. This is his third call-up. So after this week, the Saints are going to have to make some more difficult decisions in the wide receiver room in terms of you know, you're calling Kevin Austin and Dante Pettis up for a reason. Right? Equanimeous St. Brown is in that mix too. You're not calling him up. So if you continue to want a guy like Kevin Austin in this offense, you're going to have to sign him to the active roster, and that means it cuts somewhere else. And as we established, like, there's not a ton of roster spots that you're just like, yeah, get rid of him. You know? And so, no, but, you know, MVS, definitely a pleasant surprise for this team. And it adds an athletic element, a downfield element that if he wasn't here and he wasn't doing that, I think you would get different looks from defenses. And because you've established that he can be that threat downfield, and you're going to throw to him, right? Like, even in situations where they weren't completed, you were attacking downfield with MVS. Now, one of them ended up in an interception that Taysom Hill threw, but you were still forcing them to account for MVS downfield, and there were three guys on him, so they're accounting for him. They're not just saying, you're not throwing to that guy, and that changes the looks you're getting, and that's valuable. So, you know, from a, it's a, definitely a personnel win for the Saints to have brought him in week 9 and have him be impacting games. But you got to continue to force, keep teams honest, right? If they start to go one-on-one, if they don't have guys back to account for that, you got to attack them.
Mentioning the wide receivers, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations at $25,110. We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, more audio here from interim head coach Darren Rizzi, also Cam Jordan, as the Black and Gold get ready for a bout against the LA Rams, who are 5-6. The Saints 4-7. We'll see what comes out in this one. Actually, the Saints are underdogs in their own building this evening. We'll see how that ends up playing out for them. Definitely looking forward to seeing how they can rise up and maybe take advantage of being the underdogs in their own house. Want to take a break? Be right back after this, so stay tuned, Hyundai.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
WWL. Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Looking at the main game in action right now, who dats are interested in. The Atlanta Falcons currently have a 7-0 lead over the LA Chargers.
And that's despite missing a 35-yard field goal. Fun fact.
Young Hoku missed one again,
yes,
huh?
Young Hoku. But yes, he did. He missed one.
Yeah, right now there was a minute 40 left in the first quarter there. So that action winding down as the Atlanta Falcons have a 7-0 lead. Bijan Robinson scoring a touchdown in that game. Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati is tied up 7-7. The Indianapolis Colts have a 7-3 lead over the Colts at 0-0. Seattle Seahawks and New York Jets. Ooh, what a game that is to watch, huh? And also, Houston Jags scoreless, and Arizona Minnesota is tied at 3-3. The Washington Commanders have a 7-0 lead over the Tennessee Titans. We mentioned in the first hour, Jeff, that Marshawn Lattimore still a no-go for the Commanders over there, but looking like he's trending in the right direction. Maybe be back next week for them, or they might have a bye week. And then they come back to play.
Yeah, they have a bye, and then they come back to face us.
So just in time, Marshawn should be ready for the Saints.
But they won't have Austin Eckler for that game. He's dealing with a concussion. I believe he went on injured reserve. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. Brian Robinson is going to be probably their starting running back. He just had a 40-yard touchdown run. Some interesting football going on. We'll see how it goes. I think that game will mean a lot more if the Saints win today. because then they're going to go out to New York and play the Giants. Although it's a rest of the Giants team, it's probably the most beatable team in the NFL right now. They lost Dexter Lawrence to a dislocated elbow.
Yeah, they seem to be actively going for that number
Theo
one pick
Johnson
right now.
Got hurt too. Yeah, I don't think the Giants are going to win another game all season, and that's why you get to this point in the year. And it's like, all right, so there's teams that are still kind of holding on to the rope. There are teams that have let go of the rope.
Right.
And so you can take advantage of those matchups. But that's true of everybody, right? That's true of all the teams that are in the running. And, like, you look at, okay, the Bucks, they're playing the Panthers this week. Now, it's an interesting one because the Panthers are still playing hard.
Right.
You know, and they seem to be improving. They took the Chiefs down to the wire last week. Chiefs had to kick a field goal at the buzzer to win, and Bryce Young's playing a little better. Maybe he's, you know, kind of coming into his own at the NFL level a little bit. So those are kind of the matchups where, hey, okay, so the Bucks, you look at that and you just chalk up a W for the Bucks, but what if they lose? Right? And then I don't know. It's an interesting time of year for sure.
You mentioned those teams that are still holding on to the rope. The Saints definitely in that bunch now.
No question.
Still got fight left of them. And Cam Jordan actually talked about how this black and gold team still believes and is holding on to any kind of hope that they do have left for the postseason. Here's what Cam said.
The mental shift. When you hear from up top that you're changing, you know, head coach positions, there's one or two ways you go. You know, you see teams that tank and you see teams like last year, you know, Raiders that have success. Now, which one do you want to be? I mean, everybody in here at the beginning of the season after 2-0 was convinced we were going to the Super Bowl. You lose 7, the whole world is convinced that you've got nothing left. It's up to us as players to keep fighting each and every down. And it's not like we weren't. We were giving everything we had. It's coming up short. These games weren't blowout games. You weren't getting embarrassed in some of these games. More of the games that we've lost have been one possession, if not less than 7-point possession games at the end of it. So we're right at the cusp. For whatever reason, you start building confidence when you start closing those games out. So you see us close out, you know, 2 games ago, we closed out the fourth quarter. Last game, you see defense close out. That's what you love to see. That's how you build confidence, and that's how you move forward saying, hey, yes, we can score and create big explosives, but at the same time, on defense, we can create turnovers and give back to the ball to an offense that can create those big plays.
Love hearing from Cam Jordan just for the fact that you would never guess just for the way he sounds that this black and gold bunch is 4-7 on the season.
No, but I mean, that's part of the reason, hey, you want these veteran players because they keep you pointed in the right direction. Typically, when you see a team fall off the way, you know, the way you do at the end of the year and fall into that top 5 pick range, it's a lot of times younger teams. It's teams that, you know, they don't have that experience of finishing out seasons, and the Jets are the exception of that. The Jets are going to be the Jets, and now they got to figure out what to do with Aaron Rodgers, if he's even going to come back. That was a big conversation this week.
Yeah.
But no, that's why, you know, the Saints, it's, you know, they're going to go out, they're going to try to win a game. Like, this is not a team that's even considering, hey, what if we don't win this week? They're thinking about, we're beating the Rams this week. And that's what we've heard. You know, it's a cliche, and it's a little annoying when you're trying to ask a question and every answer is Rams 1-0. But that is where you have to be. Like, as annoying as it is to get answered how you need to be if you're going to go win a game. You can't be thinking about the Giants. You can't be thinking about the Commanders. You can't be thinking about the standings many people are in front of you. You got to be thinking about, how do we go 1-0 this week, win the game, and then you worry about the rest. And again, like, when I ask about, hey, you know, well, how do you keep that momentum? And you're like, 1-0 Rams. Okay, fine, whatever. But, you know, and I asked Darren Rizzi about this. He actually said he didn't remember, which is interesting to me. Because back in 2015, Darren Rizzi was the special teams coordinator for the Dolphins. Dan Campbell takes over as the interim coach. Joe Philbin's gone. They go 2-0. They win their first 2 games coming out of a bye week. Then they lose 4 of their next 5. So, like, that interim boost is a thing, but it's not always sustainable. So how do you sustain that? I asked Darren about it. He didn't really answer the question.
You mentioned that. Here's exactly you're asking Coach Rizzi about maintaining that bump, especially coming off the bye, being that interim head coach. And here's Jeff with Rizzi.
Looking back to 2015 with Dan, that team also kind of started 2-0 after the interim switch. Is that experience that you look back to and kind of say, okay, what went wrong? Because I think they've won, what, like 4 losses in 5 games. Is that a challenge, like a unique challenge as an interim, to avoid, you know, that kind of energy boost fading and then turning into just kind of...
Yeah, I didn't remember that. I think the most important part of this whole process that we're in is to keep your mind off of the big picture, right? We got to keep our mind off of you know, prior. We got to learn from what has happened in the past. We got to keep our you know, not look past this week. and realize why we've had success the last couple of weeks and what can prevent us from having that. Now, I mentioned on Monday when the guys came in, we did a little bit of a State of the Union where we're kind of where we're at in all three phases. I think Nick asked me that the other day about did we do a self-scout, and that was really the message on Monday. The message on Monday was this is what why we've done well the last couple of weeks. This is what can get us beat. And so that's really been more the focus on us. And again, I mean, not to, I know I understand your question, but the relevance from 2015 to now, you know, although shout out to Dan, but and congratulations to him for winning another one yesterday. But no, I just really trying to keep the focus on the here and the now.
The here and the now, as you heard from Coach Rizzi, and I guess everything kind of like blends together. You don't really lean back on past experiences too much, although I would think that he would remember that fondly with Dan Campbell in Miami.
Well, I think he would remember it if they went 5-0, right? When you go 2-0 and then, you know, after the next six games you're 4-8, it's not as memorable, right? So
very ho-hum, right?
Yeah, and I, you know, I was thinking about that, like, okay, this season, if Darren Rizzi doesn't end up being the head coach after this season, which is a question, like, one way or the other, you're going to do a coaching search, and he might be the best option, but it's going to be a coaching search.
Right.
And if you end up with a new head coach and they clean house, like, I wonder, how are we – will people remember, oh, yeah, I remember Clint Kubiak? You know, I remember that. Oh, he was your coordinator. And they, oh, yeah. It's just kind of a weird subplot of how much of this team do you want to keep together and how much of it do you want to move on from? And I think a lot of it's going to depend on how do you close out this season. Is it something that's worth keeping going? And this is the game we came on talking about. This is the same topic. Like, this is a game where you get to decide, is this something worth keeping going? Because if you are on a three-game win streak and you continue to put wins together, and, you know, there's two things you take out of that. One is that this roster was not as far off as we were made to believe during that seven-game losing streak. And also, you may have something in your head coach. And so those are all conversations that you have. You lose today, and those conversations cease to matter. So I think it's a big game.
Coach Rizzi was asked, too, Jeff, about what are those biggest areas he wants to see improvement coming off the bye, offense, defense, and special teams.
You know, we've talked about defensively, we've got to limit the explosive plays. We can tackle better. I think we've been better the last couple of weeks. But overall, you know, through the whole season, that's been, you know, I've mentioned that. It's been a little bit of our Achilles heel. You know, offensively, we've shot ourselves in the foot, particularly in the second half. You look at our penalties in the second half. Our third down in the second half hasn't really been what we wanted it to be. And so that's, you know, another area on offense is we've done a pretty good job of moving the ball over the 50-yard line. But if you know, kind of do a deep dive on kind of like the plus 49 to the plus 30, for whatever reason, in that area of the field, we haven't been great, maybe closing out some red zone drives. And so that's really been the focus there. You know, special teams, again, some real good things. We're number one in the league right now in kickoff team and starting field position. We've done our punt return team's been really, really good. Our kickoff return, we had a nice return last week, but that's got to get more consistent. Our net punt could be a little bit better. Matt's done a real good job with the inside the 20s and limiting punt return yardage. So, you know, we've looked at all those things, and those are the couple things that just jump out to me.
One of those things, too, I am hoping to see more of is the usage of Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. That last game against the Cleveland Browns was a masterpiece in Taysom usage. I felt like all the right maneuvers and spots were called there. It was just, you know, we've seen way too many times, I feel, in the second half of games where, for whatever reason, Hill ends up disappearing and you don't end up using him to a full advantage. And Rizzi was asked about Taysom usage now going forward in this offense down the stretch.
The more he's on the field, the more effective we've been. And all the times I've been here, there's that fine line between getting him too much and not enough. And so we got to do a good job of managing that. And I thought Clint and the staff the last couple of weeks, I think his usage has been really, really good. And obviously he helps us on special teams as well. He has a 42-yard kick return. I mean, and so, you know, I think sprinkling him a little bit everywhere is where we're at our best.
Yeah, I kind of joked about that on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Plenty of sprinkles, extra sprinkles for me of Taysom. I love to see what he can do in this offense, and it just seems to add another element that defense is just – it's hard to plan for him.
Get him in your fantasy football lineups, people.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What, like, I've been saying this for the last 2 years. Like, from a tight end perspective, you can't do much
better. Can't go wrong, right.
From a consistency.
You don't have to even have worry about him as the flex position,
right,
just because he's listed as a QB.
The only question is whether the Saints are going to actually get him the ball. And last week, you know, that was my one of my points going in was like, you know, against the Falcons, you kind of let it get away from you. He had a bunch of touches on the opening drive.
Right.
I think he had kind of a throwback screen type of situation on the second drive. Then he didn't touch the ball again until after the 2-minute warning in that final drive. So, you know, I was like, hey, you know, like this will happen. It does happen. We saw it happen with Pete Carmichael over and over again of like, you kind of got it in your head and you're going to do it. And then the game plan got away from you. The game flow kind of made it difficult to run the ball and you never got back to it. But that's a mistake. That's a mistake you got to correct. And I thought they did that to the most extreme degree possible against the Browns. And so I think you need to split the difference there somewhere. I need to make – the thing about Taysom is there's his impact on the field, and then there's just his impact for existing that you – you know, like when you're the Rams and you're trying to come up with a game plan for this week, I want that other team to have to spend that extra time coming up with a plan to stop Taysom Hill. You know, they wanted to celebrate Thanksgiving too. They didn't want to stay late and come up with an extra, you know, what happens when they do this with Taysom Hill? What happens when they do this with Taysom Hill? How do we handle this? How do we handle this? And whether you do it or not, having it be a threat is an advantage to you. That's why when he's not a part of the game plan – it's a problem because you make life so much easier on the other team.
Yes.
And so I think, especially when you're down playmakers, there's no excuse for not at least forcing other teams to prove they can stop it. Now, some teams can stop it. Some teams are better than others at stopping it. But until you show me, I don't believe you, right? I'm going to force you to line up with these extra hats and get beat up and prove that you can not get blown off the ball and tackle this guy at the line of scrimmage, right? And then if you can do that, fine. We'll hit you with somebody else. We'll do something else. But you can't just talk yourself out of it. And I think that's what's happened in the past. And I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think you're going to see them. He's going to get hammered into that line the rest of the season. And we'll see how he handles it from a health perspective. But this is, you know, he is the best weapon you have right now.
I agree with you, too, totally. If you got Taysom available in fantasy, you got him on the bench, what are you doing? Yeah. Get him in the lineup.
No question. I benched Dallas Goedert to play Taysom Hill this week, and I don't feel bad about it at all.
What we're going to do is take a break here on First Take. We'll be back with more right after this. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Bud Light countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. That'll lead you into game time. Atop the Caesars Superdome with the call, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, and on the sideline, Jeff Nowak. We'll be back with more First Take, though, right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Back here on First Take as we're getting ready for that 3 o'clock kickoff between the Saints and Rams. Some games going on in action across the NFL right now. You got the Atlanta Falcons have a 7-6 lead over the LA Chargers. Cincinnati Bengals up 14-7 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jags at home trailing the Houston Texans 3-0 over in Minnesota. The Vikings and Cardinals all tied up at 3 apiece. The New England Patriots have a 9-7 lead over the Indianapolis Colts. And in New York, the Jets, Jets up 14-0 over the Seattle Seahawks. Wow. Jeff, I saw someone's comment on the Twitter sphere saying it looks like Seattle is sleepwalking this game. Sleepwalking in Seattle. Well, in New York, actually, this matchup.
Yeah, sleepwalking for Seattle.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's one of those games, if you're a Saints fan, it's like, okay, they're 6-5. You need them to pick up a loss or two, you know. So I don't know why we're sitting here talking about the playoffs. We really shouldn't be. But, hey, might as well take advantage of it while you can still do it. But no, it's going to be this last rush is going to be kind of fascinating because I don't think there's a lot of really good teams in the NFC. I really don't. Like, I think there's a lot of competitive teams in the NFC. But, I mean, other than the Lions and the Eagles, it just feels like there's a whole bunch of everybody else.
And I'm curious, honestly, to see what the Eagles do in Baltimore tonight because they're, to me, haven't been as dominating as the Detroit Lions. And maybe that's me being an Eagles fan and a pessimist.
I think the difference to me is the Eagles' defense is elite, elite, elite. And the Lions' defense is good.
Dealing with a lot of injuries too, right?
Yeah, and like that's the differentiating factor. Where I think the Lions are better on offense than the Eagles and more consistent.
Correct.
Whereas the Eagles are kind of just this close group, like the Lions offense is just all over the place all the time and in the best possible way. The Eagles defense is a lot, or offense is a lot more predictable in ways that you can't stop. And that's been the case for years. And, you know, as long as you're not stopping it, they don't need to be unpredictable.
Well, that punch, that 1-2 punch of Montgomery and Gibbs for the Lions is pretty lethal.
It's elite. I mean, normally I would be like, man, you took a running back number 12 overall and you don't even play him as the bell cow. What the heck are you doing? In that case, it's like, man, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs needs to stop tweeting out or posting pictures of his, personnel group, you know, like Do you see that? He posted a picture of a whiteboard in the running back room, and it had all their protection ID calls.
No, I just thought he did something with Sonic and Knuckles. I didn't know he was putting
Well, they out did that too. The they whiteboard. Did that too. But yeah, he posted a picture of it, and it had all of their like protection. You know, the words you use to call out those protections, and that's not what you want other teams to know. So they probably had to change that this week, and I'm sure he got reamed out in the team meeting. Please don't do that. Don't share our inside information.
Looking at this matchup, we got Rams and Saints coming up, 3:05 kickoff here on WWL Saints Radio. A big one of concern, obviously, with this Rams offense, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, the wide receivers, and right now your secondary, meaning the Saints secondary, obviously no Paulson Adebo. You traded away a guy like Marshawn Lattimore. So you're going to be relying probably on Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry as your outside guys. Darren Rizzi talked about the improvements and the developments of Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry, and here's what Riz had to say.
Well, listen, I think you're really two different animals there. I'll start with Alante. You know, I think I mentioned this last week. I think Alante this season throughout the year has played outstanding football. You know, every defensive back is going to have their, you know, their moments where, you know, every single defensive back in this league at one point or another is going to get a ball caught on him or, you know, give up a play. He's played really consistent football. He's made a bunch of big plays, both near the line of scrimmage in the backfield and way down the defensive backfield as well. So he's been a huge, huge factor for us this year. And so I expect him to continue to do that. We need him to continue to play really good football. You know, Kool-Aid's had some ups and downs, obviously, because of some injuries, and he's kind of been in and out. I thought Kool-Aid played a consistent game last week. I thought he prepared himself to play. He's got to continue to do that. Kool-Aid's played in a lot of big games in college in his career, obviously, in his life. But, you know, in this stretch run here at the end, we're going to need him to step up and play really good football. So, you know, obviously, Alante's had more time on task and need him to keep playing like he's been playing, and need Kool-Aid to play as consistent as he did last week.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Jeff, obviously the Rams matchup last year, Alante Taylor ended up getting benched in that matchup. Hopefully that still resonates with him and has something to prove against this wide receiving core, because we certainly need Alante to be that alpha dominating guy in the secondary out there, because this is a tough matchup. You look at one of the better wide receiver duos, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know, for Alante's season, you really have to look at, okay, well, the first 8 weeks he was in the slot and he was playing in the slot. And then the last three games, which obviously the bye week, he moved outside. And, you know, to me, what you've seen with him is a guy who has the tools. He has reps where you're like, perfect rep, takes it away. You know, Jameis tried him three or four times on the edge, and he just, you know, was step for step in phase, knocked the ball away, never had a chance, right? It wasn't a situation where, oh, well, the receiver just didn't get it or the ball was overthrown. Like, he made it so you could not complete a ball on him. And that's something that, okay, I need my number one corner to be able to do. Where Alante's gotten into trouble is he's made mistakes, right? Like, he's made technical errors. Like, Jerry Jeudy cuts across his face. He's trying to force an outside release, and he just lets him go. And then you can't catch up to him, and it ends up being a 90 or 89-yard touchdown. Like, that alone is going to impact the game. Even though you played so many good reps throughout the game, that one blown rep is impactful. And so those are the plays he needs to eliminate, and I think he can. I mean, when you see the plays where he just locks down versus those one, okay, you got to fix this. And I think he will. And so that's why I look at this game. You come out of a bye, you've had a chance to kind of reflect and do a self-scout and figure out what you need to fix. This is where you need to fix it.
Getting that fix in, hopefully, for this Black and Gold Bunch, getting a third straight victory. We're going to take a break here on First Take. Coming up at 1, the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Right now, we are taking a break and be back with more as we wrap things up here on First Take after the break on WWL. Closing down shop here on the First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up next at 1 o'clock. Well, Jeff, another one here in the Superdome, and then we'll be on the road next week. But obviously, all eyes and, you know, thoughts are on this matchup with the LA Rams. A game definitely at the beginning of the year you thought was going to be a tough matchup, as is, because I just feel like this Rams bunch with Sean McVay, go back to the no call what you want, but a team that always seems to be a thorn in the side of this Black and Gold bunch.
They score points.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Score points. So you gotta match them, right? And that last year, the reason you lost, in my opinion, is, you know, you tried to set the tone early, you didn't, right? You drove the ball, you didn't score. You got to take advantage of opportunities today, right? Like, you got to put the ball, whether it's 3 or 7, you got to put the ball through the hoops. Like, you got to do something. You got to get points on the board. I want to be playing from ahead. That's what the Saints have done the last 2 weeks, and that's why it's felt winnable, is you were playing from ahead both games. I don't want to be playing from behind. I don't want to be trailing.
Yeah.
You know, you need to get out fast. You need to start well. And, you know, I'm not going to make any predictions for this game. I'm genuinely curious how it's going to go.
We are going to wrap things up here on First Take, handing off to the Bud Light Countdown to kick off next. Jeff, enjoy the game on the sideline. Be talking to you afterwards. Hoot out, everybody, and be back with more of the Bud Light Countdown to kick off with the Cajun Cannon next.